two very brief messages about Parshas Balak. One, Rav Chaim Kalbowitz always shared with us, I've spoken about it before. The culture of Peor seems ridiculous, seems absurd. You can appreciate the need for Avodah Zarah in general in the minds of ancient men who lived in a very scary world, a very grotesque world, a very frightening world, a world of randomness, and is looking for security, and paganism provides security. It's essentially monotheism. We worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, built on hierarchy, that Hashem is above us, different from us, commands us, mandates us, and we accept. He's different from us. Paganism is very different. Gods have powers, but those powers are meant to be manipulated by man. So they're more powerful. I need them in warfare. I need them to secure wealth. I need them to be successful. And I can bribe them. How do I bribe them? Praise. How do I bribe them? Virgins. How do I bribe them? Types. But basically, I'm in control of the gods. And I'm so in control of the gods that I can fashion idols to represent them. Asi, they are them. So you can understand the need for Avodah Zarah, and you can also understand the types of Avodah Zarah as they identified. The power of the sea, the looming, formidable sense of planets, and they all make sense, but people worship Peor by defecating to Peor, by relieving their wastes. How is that worship? How is that reverence? So Rav Amital told us that in his mind, Peor wasn't the worship of biological waste or excrement. It was the notion that anything natural is holy simply because it's natural. And excretion or defecation was chosen hyperbolically, that even defecation is holy because every living organism, every natural organism has to deal with its waste. A tree's waste is oxygen. Nuclear waste is nuclear waste. Our body's waste. Every single living organism has to create energy. And the creation of energy produces waste. And waste is toxic, and waste has to be disposed of. So it's basic, it's built in, it's baked into life, is relieving waste. But they weren't interested in the waste and in the defecation. They were interested in a larger, more seductive, more tantalizing notion that anything natural is holy because it's natural. And that's what makes the Peor challenge so much more formidable and so much more relevant in modernity. Because we often find ourselves victim to Peor messages. How many times have you seen a movie where a woman's locked in a dead-end marriage with an abusive, fat husband, and she starts a romance with a co-worker who's attractive? And Hollywood set up a contest between moral, legal love with her husband and natural love, because you feel that the love of the co-worker is more authentic, and you're rooting for the adulterer. Or how many times have you seen the movie of the assassin who comes home and listens to Mozart and plays chess with the little kids because he just seems like naturally a good person, even though he's an executioner in his day job? And the challenge with this is we do want to be sensitive to nature, either with a capital N. I'm walking home now from yeshiva. So I'm a little tired. I'm carrying a lot of heavy bags. And nature conveys a sense of purity and primal innocence that we lose in our lives, and we tap into by restoring or restore it by returning to nature. And not just nature around us, but nature within us, our natural thoughts, our natural goodness, our natural piety. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers His will. And we believe that will to be synchronous with our nature 99% of the time. But when they're not, we understand that we listen to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when it doesn't seem to accord with our sense of nature. I don't just mean nature with a capital N. That's why we don't really know where Moshe is buried. But the only set of coordinates we're given, and we're given these coordinates three times in Sefer Devar, Mol Beis Peor, Mol Beis Peor, Mol Beis Peor, Ramanik for Moshe, Mol Beis Peor, the Gemara says in Sota, Kedei Lechaper al Maisei Peor. Of all the sins of the desert, so Moshe is buried alongside or facing the shrine of Peor, because his whole life was to debunk the whisper of Peor. This whole Torah is predicated on the will of Hashem being superimposed. The second issue, and again very briefly, but just spoke to the Israeli boys about this. Part of the decline when people enter college is not just less learning and less davening and obviously dating and sexual pressure, but part of the decline that a lot of religious people face is you're entering a world which has an unhealthy an unhealthy reverence for people of intellectual and academic accomplishment, people who gathered information and have achieved intellectual heights. And I think you've got a caricature of that in Bilaam. Bilaam was the prophet of his day. Bilaam had access to divine information. Bilaam has great rhetoric. Bilaam is being festooned and lauded by all these international political figures. But morally, he's a nightmare. Morally, he's a monster. Whether it's his disdain, his Ayn Ra, his arrogance, which is really the trait that leaps out at you. And the Chazal, of course, pour in additional flaws with his donkey, which, again, a very grotesque and disgusting and repulsive. But basically, Bilaam is the person of talent, but of moral vacancy and moral bankruptcy, and not just that, but villainy and criminality. And I think when you're in college, and I'm sure a lot of people in college or college age, there's a culture. There's a culture that inflates professors and people of academic achievement disproportionate and unrelated to who they are as people. And I want to be clear about this. I remember my college days, and I felt very connected to many of my professors and many of my teachers, and I was touched deeply by them. But my yardstick was always who they are as people. And some professors, I sensed dedication, humility, intellectual humility, kindness, personability. And in some of them, I didn't sense that. I sensed superiority and condescension and holier than thou. Again, it's a whole culture that builds it. In Israel, it's extremely, extremely radical. There's a whole culture. There's a lot of condescension towards other universities, towards people who aren't in university. They know better. And they're not deserving of your adjuration or estimation or reverence. Think of a professor, or a Rebbe for them. I mean, the Torah obviously is different. But think of a professor as a mechanic. Why would you show more honor to one over the other? One has acquired some skills. Now, the goal is, and you expect that people that are involved in the world of ideas, A, have access to the world of idealism and morality and kindness in ways that maybe others who are involved in much more technical fields may not. And to the degree that a person who chooses academia is not just peddling ideas are important, but also is committed to the education, and education will certainly affect people's lives in ways that fixing a car is much more limited, and they see this as a calling, then those are values that should be admired and should be revered and should be internalized. But just to be impressed because of their talent and to be impressed because of their intellect, and because that's a very, very, very dangerous slope. And I think a Ben Torah, or if there are women listening to Bas Torah, can participate in these fields, enter these fields, and learn. You draw immensely from the people you meet, but I think the lenses have to be moral lenses. Who are the people worthy of your admiration? People of moral caliber. People of ideals. People, and sometimes you should be impressed and inspired by people of ideals and idealism, even if their ideals differ from yours, because there's a common ground. You both recognize that life is about ideals and idealism, not just about exigency and convenience and making money. And you both live for something larger than yourself. So sometimes the goals that you live for are different, but it's easier to translate or transition your life from their life because of that common interest of finding something larger than just the next minute to live for. So I think the message of Bilaam is beware. Beware who you admire. Beware who you venerate. Shabbat Shalom.